I thank God for the privilege of being able to be with you again today and to continue our study or our series of sermons on Psalm 23. We come today to the fifth verse, so there's one more verse to go after this. I'll talk about that later on. But we come today to verse 5 in Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. It is well to keep in mind as we come to this verse that the sheep have gone through the valley of the shadow of death. We saw that in verse 4. And we looked at how the shepherd would lead the sheep through the valley of the shadow of death, through the valleys, to go up into the higher ground. Now, it is during the summer months, and the sheep are on the high summer ranges. And it's interesting to note that the high plateaus of the sheep ranges in the western part of the United States, and also in southern Europe, are called mesas, which is the Spanish word for tables. And as an added note, I might also say that the Kiswahili word, Kiswahili is the main language spoken in Kenya, the word for table there is also mesa. So if you ever go to Kenya and you're wondering about it, mesa is table. And jumbo is hello. So if you ever go there, you can remember jumbo, not jumbo, but jumbo with an A. And that is hello. And asante is thank you. So there's your Swahili lesson for today, or I should say, Kiswahili. But you know, I'm thinking also about one of the well-known hymns, the hymn Higher Ground. You know, we read there in the chorus, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And that's what we're talking about now. The higher ground. As the shepherd has led the sheep, you know, through the valley of the shadow of death. And he's led them onto higher ground. And as he comes there and is there with the sheep, they come now to a table that has been prepared for them by the Lord. Because thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. As the shepherd would go up to the mountains, he would bring with him things that would be needed for an extended stay. He would bring with him, for instance, salt. He would be bringing minerals for the benefit of the sheep, once they would get up to those tablelands. And he would look over the vegetation that was there. How is the grass? After all, the sheep have to eat. Are there any weeds? A very important question, because some of the weeds are poisonous, and they would have to be removed before the sheep could safely graze. The shepherd needs to know these things so he can properly look after the sheep. As Christians, we tend to feel that we need to try the things that the world offers. The same as the sheep when they go up. They sometimes tend to walk off and go sideways, and the shepherd would have to speak to them, call their attention, and maybe even throw a stone with a sling that would land near the sheep, not to hit the sheep, but to just get their attention so they would come back to the flock. But the sheep would have a tendency to wander away. And as Christians, we sometimes tend to feel that we need to try the things that the world offers. But these things can be most destructive. They can be poisonous to the Christian life. You know, you think in the New Testament of Peter, you know, the Lord Jesus speaking to them and saying, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Peter replied and said, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. But then Jesus said something very interesting. I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And indeed we know from the account that Peter denied the Lord three times. So the shepherd looks out for the welfare of the sheep, and as sheep we have a tendency to wander away. But we thank God that we have a shepherd that looks out for our welfare. Not only would the shepherd look for good grass and harmful weeds, but he would also look for dangerous animals. He would look for evidence of wolves, bears, and other animals. He would look for tracks that he might see on the ground. He would look for droppings and other things that he would find that would indicate to him there have been some wild animals here. If these animals would get into the flock, they could kill many sheep. I was just this week reading some of the Dutch news headlines, and I noticed we have one very upset farmer in the Netherlands, because apparently the wolf is making a comeback in Western Europe. And a wolf got in the flock of sheep and killed 26 sheep. So the farmer was quite upset. He was a young farmer, still in his 20s, and obviously he was very upset. But he found there was a wolf there, had killed his sheep. So the shepherd would have to hunt these animals down, or he would try to trap them so the sheep could safely graze in the meadows. And again, we are reminded that the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, knows all the tricks of the evil one. You know, in 1 Peter we read, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So Satan is there. And, you know, it's hard sometimes to recognize him. But we need to be aware of him. He knows all kinds of tricks. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul tells us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks of the devil. See, we need to remember that Satan is a real person. We sometimes tend to forget that. But he is a real person. And in 2 Corinthians we read that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, trying to deceive us. And we may see him and think he is all right, but he is not. And that's why Jesus also warned in Matthew 24, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So deceiving even the very elect, deceiving God's own people, that is what Satan will try to do. And so we need to be aware of that. And that's why the shepherd looked out. Are there any signs of danger for the sheep? And as sheep, we need to be aware that Satan is out there, seeking whom he may devour. So we see the shepherd then taking good care, making sure there is good grass. He looks out for the welfare of the sheep. He checks out Are there any wild animals that might be there? And the shepherd would also look for water for the sheep. During the winter time, watering holes may have accumulated twigs, leaves, sometimes even small stones. Some watering holes might be overgrown with grass, brush, weeds. Small earthen dams that were up there might have to be repaired. And the shepherd would be busy preparing everything that would be ready for the sheep to be able to lie down and to have rest and be able to feed and look after. The shepherd would look after the needs of the sheep. See, the good shepherd has gone before the sheep, and he knows exactly what they can expect. He endured every situation and every extremity that we might encounter. If we see in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He was at all points tempted like as we are. He has known our sufferings. He has experienced our sorrow. He has endured our struggles in this life. He is, as Isaiah tells us, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Because of this, he understands us. He has totally identified himself with us. His care and his compassion for us are beyond our ability to grasp. He makes every possible provision to help us when we have to cope with Satan, with sin, and with self. He has endured the same things we endure. He is with us at all times, and he is able to help us. As we realize this, our lives should be lives of calm and quiet confidence. The Christian life can thus become a mountaintop experience, a tableland trip, because we are under the care and control of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, there may still be harmful weeds. There may still be dangerous animals. Storms may still rage. But we are under the Good Shepherd's care. He has prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Our enemies, Satan, sin, and self. And he cares for us. As C.S. said, he careth for you. And so we have a wonderful God who cares for us and provides for us. And he indeed has prepared a table for us. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So he has prepared a table. But then the psalm goes on. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And we might ask, why should a shepherd anoint the head of the sheep with oil? Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, gives three reasons why a shepherd would anoint the head of the sheep with oil. And the first one of these is flies. You all know the Aussie salute, chasing away the flies. It is summer. The sheep are on the high summer ranges, and summertime is fly time. Flies and mosquitoes can cause real trouble for the sheep. Probably the worst is what is called the nose fly. They buzz around the sheep's head, and they try to lay their eggs inside the sheep's nose. Now, if they're successful in doing that, the eggs hatch in a few days, the larvae come out of the eggs, and they work their way up the nasal passage. Doesn't sound very nice, does it? Sorry. But that's the way it is. The larvae up in there, and they go into the sheep's head, and this will cause an infection, and this causes great pain for the sheep, and the sheep will beat its head against trees, against the rocks, whatever it can find, because the pain is so severe. And advanced stages of infection may actually cause blindness for the sheep. And when sheep notice the nose flies, and we're talking now especially about the older sheep, because they've been around for a couple of summers, so they know what to expect. When they notice these nose flies, they will become frantic, and they try to run away from the flies. And when they try to run away, when that happens, the female sheep, the ewes, will stop producing milk. And if the ewes stop producing milks, the lambs will stop growing. So when the shepherd notices flies among the flock, he will apply a mixture of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar to the sheep's nose and the sheep's head. And as soon as that was done, the sheep would become quiet and they would start feeding again. And they would lie down peacefully. The nose fly is small, but it causes major problems. And this is a picture of the many small irritations that happen to us in our lives. You know, for instance, maybe more ladies do this, but men sometimes also, I see, inside the supermarkets. And you know, there is a sale on. And it's something that you really want. And you get to the aisle where the item is, and you see somebody else looking at the item that you want. And they take the last one just before you get there. Very annoying, isn't it? But that's like the nose fly. It's a tiny little thing, and yet it causes such a major problem. Another example might be, you're in a hurry. You want to get to church on time. And the light changes to red. And you know you'd better not go through it, because there's a camera at the light. So you slam on the brakes, and you're pretty annoyed because you can't get to church on time. Why didn't you leave earlier? But you know, these are the little things that cause us so many problems. You try to post a letter, it's an important letter, and you know the pickup is 6 o'clock. Well, sometimes they're 5 minutes or 10 minutes or sometimes even half an hour late getting the mail out of the box, because all boxes say it's 6 o'clock. So you know the posting can't be at every box right at the time. And you get there, and just as you pull up, you see Australia Post van driving away. You've missed your turn. Now the mail won't go out till tomorrow. The little things. But what we need is the oil of the Holy Spirit, the continuing anointing of God's gracious Spirit. You know, and when you talk about the sheep again, that mixture that the shepherd would use, a mixture of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar, would have to be applied several times during the summer. And we need the continual working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, we pray in the words of Luke chapter 11, verse 3, which is slightly different from the Matthew version of the Lord's Prayer. But in Luke we read, give us day by day our daily bread. Day by day. Not today, tomorrow's bread, but today, day by day, we look to the Lord to provide for our needs. And then, in the same chapter, in Luke, a few verses later, chapter 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? See, when things like that happen, we need to pray. Lord, I can't cope with all these annoyances. Please apply the oil of thy Spirit to my mind so that I may act and react as you would. Help me to be like Christ. And may the fruit of the Spirit show in my life. You know the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. These are the things that are to be seen in our lives. So that's the first thing that can happen, you know, as the shepherd, as the sheep get concerned, the flies. And so the shepherd needs to look after that. But then there's also another reason why the sheep would be anointed with oil. And that is scab. Now, scab is a skin disease of sheep. It's an irritating and highly contagious disease common among sheep all over the world. And it is seen most commonly around the head. It is caused by a microscopic parasite and is passed from sheep to sheep. Then they rub heads. And that, I understand, is something that sheep love to do. They love to rub heads. Now, in the Old Testament, a sacrificial lamb had to be without blemish. Scab would be a blemish. Scab is significant of contamination, of sin, of evil. And the only effective antidote is a mixture of oil, sulfur, and other chemicals. In Palestine, they would often use olive oil. And they would use sulfur with that. They would add some spices. And this worked for scab and flies. So it would work for both. And sometimes they would even have to have dipping tanks. So a deep tank, and the sheep would be led in it. You got to keep its head out. You don't want the sheep to drown in that mixture. But the sheep would be there and, you know, would kill all the parasites who are there. But then the shepherd would have to look carefully after the head of the sheep. So, you know, the parasites, they would try to escape that mixture. And they would end up in the wound part that was sticking out, which would be the head. So the shepherd had quite a difficult job and quite a task to look after the sheep. And, you know, in the Christian life, most of the contamination by the world and by sin that would defile us comes through the mind. You know, when we get our heads together with a person who is not a believer, we may pick up ideas that are not biblical. And this is something that we need to realize again. You know, we mix with other people, and our thoughts, our ideas, our choices, our desires are affected by other people. So this includes the mass media, TV, magazines, movies, the internet, but also fellow students, and for that matter, teachers. And that's why I believe that we should try to send our children to Christian schools. You know, I feel quite strongly on that. We send our children to Christian schools because the influence of the world is so strong. And that's why I think even when it comes to university, it is good to go to a Christian university. You have the secular universities with their emphasis on the secular. But if you go to a Christian university, everything is taught from a Christian point of view. So the scab affects the head of the sheep. And we need to be careful with our heads, with our minds, because you cannot be exposed to the mass media, to the unbelievers, the unbelieving fellow students. Come on, join me. We're going out and have a drink. You mean you've never tried marijuana? You should try it at least once. No. Don't. Stay away from all these things. Scripture says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, one cannot be exposed to unbelieving influences without being contaminated by them. And so we need to emphasize the good things, things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, things of good report. Think on these things. And the only way we can do that is through the Holy Spirit. Now there is one other reason why the sheep had their head covered with oil. And that is because of fights. Fights. Now, as summer gradually goes into autumn, of course we have started winter officially already here in Adelaide. And you can tell that it is getting colder. It's supposed to be about 14 degrees today. So we're cooling down. And I see, you know, you're wearing much warmer clothes than some of the other times that I've been here. I noticed even the musicians wearing jackets because they're cold. I wonder how you can play the violin wearing such a heavy jacket, you know, but they're able to do that. So, but, you know, when it comes to the sheep, you know, the trees, it's actually mating season for the sheep. And the rams, the male sheep, will fight over the female sheep, the ewes. They will hit each other head on. Bang. And sometimes the rams get hurt badly. Now again, the shepherd knows this. And what he does, he puts grease or oil on the head and the noses of the rams. Then when they collide, they just glance off each other because they become slippery. And it goes right by there. So then when they collide, the lubricant will make them glance off each other and little damage would be done. But you know, among God's people, there's often a considerable amount of head knocking. Some people will not go to church because in their experience, someone had treated them badly. And so they won't go back. Very sad when that happens. I, as a pastor, I've seen that happening. It's something very troublesome, you know. So, what we need in those circumstances, again, is the precious ointment of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So, again, it comes back to the Holy Spirit. Before his crucifixion, the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples of the coming of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in John chapter 14. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Now, this, of course, we see fulfilled later on, especially in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came upon the early disciples. But later on, as we read Paul's epistles, we see clearly that every believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling within. No exceptions. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, verse 9, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are none of His. You are not a believer. So every believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling within. Again, you know, Jesus going to the Father, and the Holy Spirit would come. When the Holy Spirit is in our lives, when we're born again, because that is the key, that's the moment that we receive not only Christ as our Savior, confess our sins, we ask God to cleanse us, we ask God to save us. The Lord Jesus Christ saves us. But it's at that moment also that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. So when we're born again, and then we begin to manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, then the attributes of peace and joy, long-suffering and generosity, they become apparent in our lives. As Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says, let your conversation, your conduct, your manner of life, not conversation in the sense of talking, but let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So he will be with us at all times. So there are three reasons then why the shepherd would apply the oil. For the nose flies, and then for the nose flies, for the fights of the sheep, and also because of the scab that would come in the head. So all this happens now at the end of the summer. The summer season is coming to an end. Autumn is coming. And soon the sheep will return home for the winter season. The shepherd who led the sheep through the valley of the shadow of death up to the higher ground will now begin to lead the sheep down back for the winter. And it's at this time that we can say that no other season finds the sheep so fit, so well, so strong. They have been fed well. They have been looked after by the shepherd. They've been eating. They're healthy and strong. No wonder that the psalmist says, my cup runneth over. The shepherd has provided well for the needs of the sheep. The good shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has provided well for our needs. We have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, with us day by day. No matter what may happen to us, we can face the storms of life. Our cup of blessing overflows. And with confidence we can say, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You probably recognize that as the last verse in Psalm 23. We're not going to talk about that verse today. Lord willing, we'll talk about verse 2 weeks from today. Praying that the Lord will make that possible for us. And then we will look at that in more detail as we then conclude our consideration of Psalm 23. But keep in mind that the shepherd has prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My head has been anointed with oil. Whatever happens to us, we need the oil of the Holy Spirit so that we will be able to handle the little irritations that can become so big in our lives. We need God's Holy Spirit. And thank Him that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have His Holy Spirit dwelling within. And therefore, you can say with confidence, my cup runneth over. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee that the Lord is our shepherd. If we have confessed our sins to Thee and have asked Thee to save us from our sins, we then have the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd, looking after us, providing for our needs. And we have the Holy Spirit also dwelling in us. And Father, may we then indeed show the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, the faith, meekness, and temperance. Lord, may these things be seen in our lives as Thou dost anoint our heads with oil of the Holy Spirit. And as we can indeed say, my cup runneth over, because Thou hast provided abundantly for all our needs. We thank Thee, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.